It's official. I've put another notch on the tree outside our ABC studios. It's been 6 weeks and counting that we've been staying inside. This week on Stay Insiders, we're taking a break from our regular activity-based updates for a welfare check. You might assume it's our frontline and essential workers suffering burnout as a result of the pandemic. Well, it turns out you could be experiencing a similar situation simply by working from home. Professor of Psychiatry at the University of New South Wales and the founder of the Black Dog Institute, Professor Gordon Parker, has devised a new model for measuring burnout and believes the coronavirus will present us with new and interesting case studies, and joins us on the program tonight. Gordon, welcome.
Thank you, Patricia.
Can you explain your model of measuring burnout to us? What are the known symptoms involved?
Sure. I should emphasise that there has been a dominant model for 4 decades or so, and that more than 90% of the studies that look at burnout use that model. And the model is simply a triad of symptoms that people feel exhausted. They're said to depersonalize. What that means is lose empathy for others and have reduced work performance. Our model found support clearly for exhaustion. Secondly, we found that it wasn't just a loss of empathy, which sort of sounds a bit cynical, as if you've been unkind to others, but it was a more diffuse concept where there's a lack of feeling tone towards others and towards the world. You switch off. And thirdly, we found a quite strong cognitive impairment, where a number of people reported, or women say, it was something like having baby brain. And so people will say that they can't register information, or they can't retain it, or they scan. But in addition to those key symptoms, we found, and it in fact dominated our analysis, another component, and that was personality style. And the key personality style for people who develop burnout is that they are diligent. They're reliable, they're conscientious, their word is their bond, they're perfectionistic, and in extreme cases, of course, they can be workaholics. And I still remember one of my colleagues saying, well, look, you should never treat perfectionists, you should employ them. And while that's, I think, absolutely right at one level, perfectionist people are great in terms of their work performance, and they often define themselves by their work, but also they can pay a price. And so an individual who's reliable and responsible and perfectionistic is at very high risk of burnout.
Has the lockdown and being stuck inside exacerbated these personality traits and impacts of burnout?
I'm, of course, speculating. I think there are going to be a whole series of differing trajectories. For instance, if you've been in an office environment, let's say an open plan one, where you've got an employer who's looking at you, you know, with glint in his eyes as he thumps the ruler down on your fingers when you make a spelling mistake, and you're under the gun the whole time, and you now are working from home, and you can sort of contrive to get up at a certain time, and maybe you have a kip across the day and pace yourself, then in fact, for a percentage of people, working from home may be very protective. And a percentage of people who are experiencing burnout or going into burnout may say, well, look, this was a real salve, and come out the other side saying, well, look, I've learned something from it. But if I take a second group or a second vignette, there are going to be people who it's going to make burnout more likely or more severe. And the subgroup, I think, that's most distinct risk here would be women who are not only trying to do the job that they were doing in the office or wherever, but now are having to homeschool children. Hmm. And it's usually quite a strong gender basis that, you know, when you talk to people, it tends to be the mothers that are doing this dual dual job. And we've well recognised that in, you know, recent decades that women have had to have capacity to work across multiple spheres. If you look at the indices of well-being, we all imagined that as technological devices came along that well-being levels would increase. But what's happened in the last few decades is that well-being levels in all countries in the world have basically stayed the same for men, but they've actually decreased for women. And the suggestion is that women are required not only now to look after the home duties and keep the fires burning and the food provided, but they've also got to be highly competent in a work scenario. So I think the working from home just brings that into sharper relief. And again, this may sound biased, but it does seem as though women are taking on the burden of homeschooling far more frequently and more diligently than their husbands or partners. And of course, if any individual is doing those two things and they are perfectionistic, then they feel that they have to deliver at the highest level, and that puts them under more pressure, and therefore I think you've got fuel for a burnout scenario.
So how do you avoid a burnout? I mean, it's, I'm sure many listeners are hearing this thinking, oh, he's talking about me. Yeah. How do you avoid it? Because the truth is, there's not a lot of choice at the moment. I mean, I'm homeschooling my children. Yep. People know that because, you know, that's what the Victorian law is, and I follow the health advice. And at the same time, I'm working full time. It's intense, I won't lie to you. How do you avoid the burnout?
Well, I think avoidance or prophylaxis is essentially going to avoid getting caught up in the 24/7 life cycle and having, you know, your phone on at the whole time and having it beside your bed at night and checking your emails every hour and so on and so forth. You know, that's just an example of the type of work stressor that has increased and which is fueling the seeming epidemic of burnout. But coming back to your question more generally, What we tend to find is strategies for handling burnout tend to be focused on having a break from work, either entirely or to a distinct degree, and applying a whole series of strategies that lower your stress levels, you know, whether that's yoga or meditation or mindfulness and so on. And the emphasis is obviously on de-stressing the individual. What we don't see in management strategies for assisting people with burnout is strategies addressing the engine room, which is the personality style. And here, as I said before, perfectionism is one of the key factors. So I think to address burnout, rather than target the workplace or target the individual de-stressing, you've actually got to do something about personality. A few months ago, I was at a dinner party and when I mentioned I was writing a book on burnout, somebody made what I thought was a fairly ordinary throwaway line that they'd never actually come across a sociopath who had burnout. And the more I think about that, the more I think that's a really profound statement, because what that really means is that people who have a personality style of no worries, mate, or manana, they don't develop burnout. And sociopaths who essentially work to the principle of an eye for an eye and have no empathy, and it's all for their own advancement, and have little capacity to care or think about others, they don't develop burnout. So in a sense, we've got to try to assist people with burnout to redress some aspects of their personality. That's really difficult for perfectionistic people because they're so bound up by that personality style.
Ah, what a conundrum. Thank you so much for coming on the show and talking to us about this.
Well, thank you, Patricia.
Professor Gordon Parker is a professor of psychiatry at UNSW and the founder of the Black Dog Institute.